This is Gabriella. And she's our animal symbol of love today. She was 8 weeks old yesterday. And I contacted Bill. She's just too young to be left alone yet. So here she is. And hopefully she will behave. So Ram Dass just gave my whole talk. So thank you for coming. And literally, I mean, really. But I want to just talk about some synchronicities that apply to being love. And that was one of the points that I wanted to make this morning also. Love is a word that has many meanings. And some people can think that it's overused. You know, I love this, I love that, I love blah, 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 and get somewhat diluted in really meaningful expressions of love. But I don't necessarily look at it that way. I think that there are many definitions to love. And what I'm talking about today and what Ram Dass was referring to in the reading is a much higher frequency of love. That love is a vibration, it's a frequency, it's a consciousness, it is an accumulative energy source, and it's a very, very, very high vibration, as he alluded to. So the love that I want to talk about today is how to be in a state of consciousness that takes the personal out of it and wants to connect with, knowing that, you know, I'm speaking to the choir here, I know that. But I think that being reminded of certain things can be very helpful. And when we are in the kind of love that Ram Dass is talking about, we become that vibration. We become heaven on earth. And I think that we're all here at this time on the planet for a reason. And I think that we're all here at the age that we are for a reason. We've had a tremendous amount of life experience. We've had happy times, not so happy times. And I think that our own vibration raises to a point where we can be very, very helpful to others, whether you know them or not, it doesn't really matter. But I think that it's important to develop everyday experiences that not only remind us of who we are, but help us to live who we are. And that's what's going to make the difference. I think there's no question that our world is in a chaotic place right now. And regardless of what side of the fence you're on politically, what side of the fence you're on about any of the things that are going on today, in my opinion, when we're in a state of chaos the way we are right now, it's a measure. It's a measure of a lack of love. And because I believe and have been taught that certain things can't happen if the collective vibration of love is at a high enough level, because in the expression of love, certain things just can't exist. They just can't, because they are not a loving experience. They are not a symbol of the creator's love. And whether it's the creator, whether it's source, whether it's Buddha, whether it's God, whatever name you want to give it, it is still that pure love. And people have said to me, well, if you really believe that's true, and if that's true, then how can these things be happening? Well, they're not happening because the creator is falling short. They're happening because collectively, our planet is not at a level of love that will not allow these things to happen. And what is very common is for people to see some awful atrocity or misuse of power or whatever you want to call it, and talk about it and debate about it and have very strong feelings about it. And no one is saying don't have feelings, but what I'm saying today is know what to do with those feelings. And the more, you know, I have friends who are, I consider, very deeply spiritual people, very kind people, very loving people, but they make themselves crazy being so affected by some of the things that are happening in the world today. Now, I'm not saying don't care, and I'm not saying don't have an opinion about it. What I am saying is, if you happen to watch the news and you see something like the shootings, or, you know, I don't want to personalize any of it, but if you see something that's upsetting to you, or you see something happening, even in your own family or whatever, that seems out of balance and not in favor of love, rather than expelling your energy on trying to convince anybody or getting in a powwow about, you know, wanting to support a certain side of the story or whatever, it is far more productive and far more helpful to recognize that whatever this is that's happening is happening because there is a lack of love collectively. There is not a measure of love that has gone high enough that will keep this from happening. And it will continue to happen until we get there. So it's amazing, amazing how synchronistic these messages are. I mean, to have that reading by Ram Dass, I mean, that is the outline of my talk, but no one knew that. And when I was, you know, I was thinking about the talk, and I always spend quite a bit of time preparing and asking Spirit to tell me what is needed for the people that have come today. But I took a break and I was looking at one of the very inexpensive women's magazines that you see at the checkout counter. And I was guided to get one, and I was like, why? And they said, just get it. And I said, okay, fine. And I got home and I started looking through it, and I was kind of preparing for the talk and then taking a break and then going back to preparing. And in that magazine, I found this little saying, which I will read to you. Each time you stop to pick a daffodil or gather violets on a small hill or touch a leaf or see a tree, it's all God whispering, this is me. And I just thought that was so sweet and so appropriate, because God, source, creator, whatever name you want to give it, is in everything. And one of the best ways that we can achieve the consciousness that I'm referring to is to have a deep connection to the earth and to the animals and to nature. And, you know, they're not sitting around debating whether we have the right politician in office or what should happen here or what should happen there. You know, they're surviving in the best way that they can. They do help each other. I mean, it's been proven that they have their own consciousness and that they do warn of different things, but they don't humanize everything. And I think that the best way that we can raise the whole planet to where it needs to be is to take our cues from those that understand and express themselves as pure love. So, you know, I think when the events of 9/11 happened, I am a Reiki master. I have a lot of healing capabilities. So I was like, what can I do? I was living in Connecticut at the time, and I certainly couldn't go to New York City. They had shut down the whole city and it wasn't really safe to be there anyway. But I knew I needed to do something. So I sat down and I did a meditation, and they said, just send love to the situation. Send love to everyone, all the rescue people, all the people that are victims. Just send it to the situation, because I'm extremely ethical about how I work. And if I don't have someone's permission, I do not mess with them. You know, you just don't go there. You know, I've had people call me and they want me to work with their neighbor's animal because they don't like how it's being treated. And I said, do you have permission of the neighbor? Well, no, I'm sorry. I have to mind my, I don't know why that's happening. I don't know what everybody's supposed to learn from it. Now, would I blatantly allow an animal to be abused? Absolutely not. But if somebody's just decided that they want to see that animal living differently, that's, I can't do that. Would you want me working on you and you don't even know what's happening? I mean, it's just not right, in my opinion. So I did sit down and send love to the situation. And I think that's exactly where Ram Dass is coming from in terms of being love when it's needed most. It's easy to be in a loving spirit when everything around you is just hunky-dory and you're getting all the support you need and you're getting all the love and affection that you need, and you have loving animals to care for and whatever. But when things are not going so well, and just like he was saying, put a portrait of someone that you're not so happy with. Well, I feel that is true. And again, it doesn't mean that you agree with the behavior or that you are supporting things that clearly are harmful to others, but that you recognize it as a shortage of love. And when you can put something in that perspective, then the minute you hear something that you're disturbed by, instead of picking up the phone to call a friend or call somebody and say, can you believe this is happening and blah, 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 what you're really doing, I mean, you may have to vent some of your feelings, because it's also not healthy to be stuffing emotions that you need to express, but go tell a tree, literally. And, you know, the more you set yourself up to be so-called gossiping about whatever's happening, you are feeding the very energy that you're trying to heal. But if you say to yourself, this is a harmful situation, I don't understand. And the other thing is, we don't have all the information. Now, I'm not saying that it's okay to hurt somebody. What I'm saying is, you don't know why it happened. You don't know if that soul needed to learn something from that experience, going either way, the person who's hurting or the person that's being hurt. When you take yourself out of the personal and become a member of the collective that is pure love, then it's a little bit more comfortable to say, I don't know why this is happening. However, I do recognize that there is some shortage of love in this experience. So I am going to send as much love to that experience as I possibly can. You don't need somebody's permission to generally send love, knowing that it will be absorbed and accepted by whatever person, thing, or being is willing to accept it. So you're not crossing a boundary, because you are not making demands on any one particular person or trying to control. You're just saying, I recognize the lack of love in this situation, and so I will sit down and I will send love. And believe me, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what's going on in your world, you have plenty to give. You may not feel it all the time, but you do. And the more we can raise our vibration to get to a point where we can do that in a pure and truly loving manner, you will see these things going away, because, like I said, there won't be a low enough vibration and influence for these things to be happening. And that's what the universe is waiting for. The universe, you know, karma is an interesting thing. And I think most people really have a skewed interpretation of what karma is. Karma is never meant to be punishment. And a lot of people see it that way. Well, it's karma. I must have done terrible things in a past life because why is this happening to me now? I think that maybe you did some terrible things in a past life, but you are not being punished. You are being educated. And there's a huge difference. When a karmic event comes up, it is a way of giving us an experience that we may have misinterpreted or judged or thought of differently. You know, many years ago, I've broken a lot of bones. Many years ago, before I had ever broken a bone, I was walking down the street. I was actually going to the hospital to visit a friend. And someone was coming up on the sidewalk using crutches. I had a cast on her leg and was using crutches. And, you know, I gave plenty of room for her to go by. And as I was walking over to the hospital building, I thought to myself, I wonder what that feels like. You know, you don't know what's happening under the cast. You only see a cast. So you don't know really how bad the injury is or if that person's in pain. But I remember thinking, gosh, I wonder what it feels like to be in that situation. Not a week later, I broke 3 bones in my ankle. So now, if I go anywhere near that question, I make sure that there are caveats that make it very clear that I'm willing to observe and believe. I don't necessarily have to feel it myself. Because I basically, without realizing it, I had asked for that. And that is another piece of this, is be very careful about what you talk about. Be careful about how you express yourself. What message are you really trying to send? And again, I think the point is well taken, that I'm not suggesting that you stuff your feelings about things that don't make you happy. I mean, the world is filled with lots of different experiences, but when you are living love as opposed to wanting to be loved or wanting to be loving, it puts you on a whole different time frame. It puts you in a whole different place because you then know that the way to heal it is to become a higher part of the Creator. We're all God. You know, I talk to people a lot about the importance of diet. And, you know, isn't it wonderful that it's ice cream day? But I can't depart. I can't take part myself, but it's a lovely thought. But, you know, I think that when you are moving into this higher vibration and frequency of love, it affects every part of your life. It affects how you think. It affects how you express yourself to others. It has to do with how you express to yourself about what you think of yourself and how you treat yourself. And people who have been coming here for a while have heard me say before, if you invited God for dinner, what would you serve? And would you treat that dinner differently than you treat any other dinner that you have? And most people would say, well, I'll get out the good china. I'll put a tablecloth on the table. I'll, you know, make something really special. But what you have to remember is you are God. You are a living, unique expression of Source, whoever that is for you. So every time you take a meal, every time you think about what you're having to eat, you are feeding God. So is that something that you think God will flourish on? I mean, you have been given these intricate, amazing bodies to house your soul in for whatever period of time you are meant to be in this particular body. But is it honoring Creator if you don't think about what you're putting in your body? Every cell, every system, every organ benefits or does not benefit from how it's taken care of. So are you ready to say, okay, let me look at my diet? You know, this may taste really good, but is it really good for me? And is it supporting and nurturing my being? Is it supporting the identity that I want to give myself as being pure love? And if it is, good for you. If it's not, then you may want to tweak it. Now, ice cream was put on this planet for a reason. I'm not saying never have it. I'm just saying don't do what I did and don't have it every day. Because I'm now paying the price for that. But I think that there are many things that we can do to express love and to get us to that place of not putting it in the future, not, I want to be loved. I want to do this loving thing. I want to know what that feels like, to, I am a unique expression of the divinity that I know as love. And some of the ways that you can do that is to not judge. Easy to do, we're human. But the more we judge something or someone, we're lowering our vibration. And again, it's not about saying that you may perceive that what is happening is okay or not okay. What I'm saying is, it is an expression of a lack of love. Don't judge it on the surface. Sit down and send love to it. Surround those people. You know, I had an experience many years ago where someone called me, and it was a young man. He was in his early teens, very young. And he was homeless and had been taken in by a family whose dog had just had puppies. Well, as many times is true of someone who's been abused, he felt he had to show his power by abusing the puppies. And I won't get into what he did because it was pretty horrific. But I had a number of people call me and say, don't you just want to do to him what he did to those puppies? And I said, no, I do not. And they said, but Carol, you're an animal communicator. You love animals. How can you say that? Don't you just want to punish him? I said, no, because it's not going to do any good. And they said, what are you talking about? I said, that young man is not even 16 years old. And I said, what has happened in his life that would make him think that this was a good idea? Clearly, he has experienced tremendous pain in his life, or he would not feel the need to inflict it on an innocent puppy. So no, I don't want to punish him. I want to teach him. I want to send love to him. I'm not saying what he did is okay. I'm not saying there shouldn't be consequences. But I think that most of the jails on this planet are filled with people who are being warehoused for a bad decision. Now, am I saying it's okay to murder somebody? Absolutely not. Am I saying spousal abuse is okay? Absolutely not. But in the Native American way, and in a lot of indigenous societies, if someone had committed a crime against the community or against someone, they didn't put them in jail. They gave them one day of food and put them on an island or out somewhere in nature where they had to learn to survive. And they had to learn to survive in a way that they had to merge with nature. They had to appreciate what was available to them, because without it, they wouldn't survive. And most of the time, there are exceptions, but most of the time, if somebody spent a week or a month in total isolation in the forest, they came back a very different person. And they came back with a different, if any, sense of gratitude. And so I think that we have to really think about how we express ourselves. I think everybody in this room believes in love, wants to be the best expression of love. But if you really get honest with yourself, how are you putting that out to the world? Are you on Facebook, or are you, you know, doing this or that to help motivate people to be angry and to side with your way of thinking? Or are you minding your own business, recognizing that the creator has the floor, knows what's going on, knows why it's going on, and doesn't need us to tell the creator what to do? The creator needs us to sit down and get into the most deep and insightful expression of love that we can. And whether that means taking a walk in nature, talking to your plants, doing something with your animals if you happen to have them, doing some volunteer work at a shelter, whatever the case may be, responding to the ugly things that are happening in the world with more ugly thinking just helps that consciousness grow. Responding in a way that says, oops, I see a lack of love in this situation. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to embrace that and pour as much love into that situation as I possibly can. And it doesn't mean you have any control over the outcome. It may turn out the way you would like, it may not. But the one thing that I can absolutely guarantee is, A, you do not have all the information, and B, adding to the fury doesn't get you where you want to go. But it takes some experience to get to a point where you can do that and not feel like you should be doing something differently, or if you take that avenue, then it's saying that you're okay with what happened, because that's not the case. You know, if you saw pure love as a collective consciousness that's like a cloud that surrounds the whole planet, and something was not okay, and you just picture it being lifted into that cloud and immersed in pure love, with no judgment, with no expectation, with no control, but just being a vehicle, being a support of pure love, and hold that for as long as you need to, and go on with your day. I promise you that is far more productive and healing and beneficial to the planet than anything else you could do. So some of the things that I jotted down are: love is the highest expression of the nature of God. Divine love is a natural activity of the expansion of God. We are all a piece of God. How do we want to expand? Be God in action through the love of the Holy Spirit. Love is not a word. It is an essence, a power, a vibration. And heaven is not a place we go to. It's a state of consciousness. It's been proven that there are tons of different dimensions and different vibrations that exist in the same atmosphere. We just don't necessarily recognize all of them, because in order to be part of that, we have to have reached the vibration ourselves. So wherever we are at this time, is a demonstration and a measure of how far we've come in our own expansion. If you like where you are, God bless you and congratulations. If you are not happy with all aspects of where you are, then utilize the things that you can do to continue to raise your vibration. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I think it is extremely worthwhile and extremely fulfilling. What are some of the things that keep us not reaching that higher place of love? One is lack of motivation. It's real easy when you're sitting in a room like this, collectively in a community that supports each other. And yeah, I'm going to do this every day, or I'm going to blah, 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 blah. But then you get home and it may not happen in exactly the way that you had intended. So it really does take dedication and self-motivation to create some kind of a protocol for yourself where you, whatever it is for you, but you agree when you get up in the morning. I totally agree with Ram Dass, and I even put it in my notes that, in fact, here it is. As we awake each day, the presence of God is waiting for the opportunity to fill you with grace, peace, abundance, healing, and love. So every morning, if we connect with that and we have gratitude, thank you. Every morning I say thank you for the day that's here. And every night I say thank you for the day that we've had. I may not have liked everything that took place. There is always something to be grateful for. Always, always, always. I was watching something the other night and, you know, I have some discomfort in my legs and ankles sometimes. And I was feeling particularly uncomfortable. And then I saw something I was watching, and there was someone in a wheelchair. And I immediately stopped what I was doing and said, thank you. I am so grateful that I was able to heal and do not need to be in a wheelchair. You know, I am so grateful I have a safe place to live. I am so grateful that I am not witnessing some of the abuses that are taking place around the country. There's always. I am grateful that when I look out my window, I see a beautiful scene in nature. I have a beautiful fast-moving stream that goes along the side of my house. There is always, always, always something to be grateful for. I don't know how many of you watched any of the coverage on the building that collapsed in Florida, but there was a cat in perfect health found wandering around the site. And they realized that through doing whatever it is they do to investigate it, it was a cat that lived in that building. And somehow the way the building fell, the cat was not hurt and was able to escape the building and was just hanging around the site waiting to somehow be united with their family. And everyone who lived there was not at home, so the cat was reunited. That's a miracle. That is a true miracle. When you look at how quickly that building went down and how it unfolded. And if you want to track something like that, this is what I'm talking about. Like, okay, why did that building go down? Well, from the reports, it went down because it wasn't being maintained properly. And there are things about Florida and the land that everything is built on and everything that's happening. And there were things that could have been done that hadn't been done. Why hadn't they been done? Because the powers that be made more money by not doing them. Well, what is greed? Greed is a lack of love. So everything that happens can be tracked back to a measure of whether it is filled with love. Now it works both ways. You know, you've also seen or heard how many people are coming to other people's support. And, you know, some of the Hollywood people who are so willing to donate their time or their funds or whatever the case may be for total strangers. They don't know these people, but it's in human giving that we raise that vibration. So there's always something too that you can think about. You know, I know I live a half hour outside of Asheville, and homelessness is a big topic in Asheville. And a lot of people are trying to reduce the amount of homeless people, but a lot of people just don't want them there. They get angry, they feel that they're dangerous, they're dirty, whatever the case may be. Do you think any one of those people want to be where they are? Do they want to be begging for food, peeing on the sidewalk because they don't have a bathroom? You know, if we can try to rise above the surface of the way things look and see the bigger picture, then again, instead of, there are people who are like rising up in Asheville, I don't want the homeless shelter near me, I don't want this, I don't want that. Now, I understand the concerns. There are a lot of homeless people who are mentally ill and do have to be supervised. They may make some really bad decisions. But hating them and condemning them is not helping the consciousness of homelessness. If you can sit down and say prayers for these people, I'm sorry that you are in this state of being. I'm sorry you don't have a home. I don't know why you don't have a home. That's up to God and the universe. But I want you to know that I am sending love in the hopes that you can raise yourself out of the situation. You're not taking responsibility for it. You're not judging it. You're not trying to control it, but you are adding to the vibration of healing as opposed to adding to the number of homeless people that show up. Does that make sense to everybody?
Sure.
Okay. So what I'd like to do, I always run over, I'm sorry. I'm so naughty that way. Okay, what I would like to do is a very quick journey to the Temple of Love. And it's going to be a little bit quicker than I originally planned because I'm running over as usual. And then I will close with a particular prayer. And I just want to add, this book is called The Seven Sacred Flames. And it is one of the most extraordinary, spiritual, beautiful, wonderful books I've ever come across in my entire life. And very quickly, I was at another spiritual center who happened to have a bookstore. And this isn't the kind of book I would normally reach for. I'm very connected to Native American ways and to a different place than what this falls under. But I couldn't stop walking over to it. I couldn't stop going over to it. I couldn't stop picking it up. When I picked it up, my whole body would vibrate. And I was like, okay, I don't know why, but I'm supposed to have this book. And I looked at the price and it was like $40 or something. Well, on that day, I didn't have $40. I barely had enough money for gas to get home. But I walked over to the woman and I said, you know, I'm sorry, I'd love to get this book, but I really don't have $40. She said, oh, that's a used copy. That's $2. No, that is not a coincidence. That is God at work. And I am so grateful because this book has been unbelievable. And there's a book of prayers. And my puppy has been unbelievable because I don't think she's been this quiet since I got her on Wednesday. But anyway, would you guys like to do a short journey? Or is that taking up too much time and do you want me to bring it? Okay, so I'm getting a yes on that. Okay. So everybody just kind of take a couple of nice deep breaths. close your eyes. Feel yourself very aware of your being. And feel your heart space. And see yourself in the mystery, in that total darkness. And as you begin to rise, you see a gate in front of you that leads to a path in the forest. As you step through the gate, there is someone waiting for you. This is a measure of your high self. It may be an archangel, but it is someone there specifically for you to escort you to the Temple of Love. And as you walk together down the path, be aware of what your body feels like. What emotion are you feeling being next to this being of love? What are you feeling as you walk the path? You hear the birds sing. You smell the fragrance of what grows in the forest. You hear the rustle of the bushes as animals may be flitting around playing. And you come to the entrance of a beautiful building. This is the Temple of Love. It is there today specifically for you. Your guide walks you to the front door or gate or whatever it looks like for you. And as you enter the front door, you are entering the frequency of pure divine love. And I'm going to let you visit in the temple for just a couple of minutes. Be aware of who comes forward and ask the message, how can I be love? What do you hear? What do you feel? What do you see? And I will come back for you in a couple of minutes. This is simply an introduction to the Temple of Love. You can return here at any time. I know that they have more that they want to share with you. And that is available to you at any time, day or night, whenever you feel you need to go or wish to go. But for now, you are being escorted back to the front entrance. Your escort is waiting to walk you back to the gate. And be aware as you leave, do you feel differently? Do you see yourself differently? Are your emotions different? How do you feel physically? Be aware of who your escort is. What is that being to you? And as you say your goodbyes at the gate, you slip back into the mystery, back into your chair here at Spiritual Life Center. Become aware of your presence here in this room. And I will close with this prayer. In the name of my beloved I Am Presence, I call the power of divine love to be magnified within my heart and world daily. I am love, joyous love, radiating love, unconditional love. God consumes my shadows, transmuting them into love. This day, I am a focus of divine love, flowing through every cell of my being. I am a living stream of pure divine love that can never be requalified by fear, anger, hatred, dislikes, greed. All negative thoughts and feelings are now dissolved and consumed by the power of divine love, which I am. I am, I am, I am love. I live in the consciousness of love. I am love in its fullest expression, blessing all mankind with divine love. I radiate love. I am love in action, blessing, uplifting, and healing all on earth. And so it is.
It's from the movie about Gandhi. It's called Gandhi, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's an event that occurred when the Hindus and the Muslims were in massive battle with one another. And Gandhi had decided he would sit up on the rooftop and fast and just continue to fast until they recognized that they needed to respect and love one another. And he was at a point of extreme weakness. And a Muslim managed to climb up the side of the building and jump over the wall with the knife where Gandhi was laying. And he was unable, of course, to defend himself in his point of weakness. And I hope I get this straight. This little point in there, I get a little uncertain exactly how it happened, but Gandhi said to him, you know, what is it within you? What is so wrong that would make you wish to kill? And the man said, you don't understand. I am in hell. And he said, what causes you to be in hell? And he said, I killed a child. And I've been unable to get out of hell ever since. And the man said, it was a Hindu child that I killed. And Gandhi said to him, there is a way out of hell. You remember this, don't you? He said, there is a way out of hell. He said, what you must do is go and find one of the Hindu children that are roaming the streets homeless. And you take one of these children and you raise him as your own. And the man looked at him and says, well, I can do that. And he says, but there's only one thing. You, to fully and completely love him and raise him as your own, you must raise him as a Hindu. And the man kind of panics and jumps over the wall. But I think that illustrates where we're at now is the complete understanding that we have with all people on this planet, and it, not just extending love etherically, but in actual practice.
And I think it's, thank you, Bill. And I think it's interesting too. No matter what war it is, no matter who it's about, there's a ceasefire at Christmas. Oh, okay. We agreed that we're not going to shoot at each other for 24 hours in honor of this holiday. And 24 hours later, they're killing each other again. Am I the only one that doesn't think that makes sense? If you can have a ceasefire for 24 hours, why can't you have a ceasefire forever? And it has been so proven over and over and over again, as far back as time has been measured, war doesn't work. There are no winners. There may be somebody who gains a little bit more power in their own mind, but war doesn't change anything. War doesn't work. So let's try another perspective. Let's try another way. But it's always such a joy to be here. Thank you so much. It's been a long time, and it's always such a joy to be here. The energy here is so beautiful. So thank you for having me. And Gabriella says thank you too.